The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Let's get back to Antonio Brown, who has been in the news every day since his dramatic mid-game exit on Sunday. This time, releasing a statement saying that the Bucs wanted him to play through an ankle injury that will require surgery. AB wrapped up the lengthy statement with this, quote, "I love the Bucs fans. I really do. I love my teammates and everyone who showed me grace and believed in me. I gave the Bucs everything I had on the field. What the organization is doing now needs to be cleaned up. I do not understand how people publicly claiming to be concerned about my mental health can do these things to me in private. Once my surgery is complete, I'll be back to 100% and looking forward to next season. Business gonna be booming." We've heard that one before. Okay, it's worth noting that Brown tweeted out alleged text messages between himself and Bruce Arians to corroborate his story. But all that aside, Damian, does AB still have a future in the NFL?
I do. Okay. Because as Dan knows this as well, talent trumps everything.
Yeah.
Okay? We've seen guys throughout time, throughout the National Football League that's, you know, committed egregious offenses and all those type of things. But if the talent level meets that need, there will be teams out there desperate enough to go and acquire the talent. And we know how talented AB is, okay? It's apparent. All you got to do is open your eyes and watch AB out there play. Even when AB is not 100%, he is still one of the best wide receivers that we have in the National Football League. And that's what this league is all about. It's all about procuring and acquiring talent. Yes, is he a headache? No question about it. Does he come with baggage? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, when you talk to team execs, coaches, all those players, all those type of things, what matters most? Winning. Winning matters most. Winning is the ultimate cure-all, okay? And teams are in the business of acquiring talented players. And so I do think there's going to be a team, probably multiple teams, probably next year in 2022, that's going to look into and probably get AB on one of their rosters, because quite frankly, he's still playing at a high enough level where teams feel like he could be part of the process of winning football games and ultimately trying to get to a championship.
Yeah, D. Wood, my initial inclination is to agree with you. We've been around the NFL long enough that nothing surprises me and nothing shocks me. So my initial thought is, yeah, he's going to play football again. But I think my answer is a little bit unknown, because we don't know exactly what's going to come from this situation. Like, this is a really real situation, so to speak. And there is, again, strong allegations from Antonio Brown against the general manager, against the head coach, and against the organization. So we're going to figure out, or hopefully figure out, who's telling the truth. Is it Antonio Brown or is the organization? And again, I said this in the first hour, I think they need to dispute this and everything that Antonio Brown is saying about them if it's not true. How much self-implosion does Antonio Brown go down, right? Like, because the use of Twitter, and he's sending out all these private conversations, he's putting his bank account information on, it is going to shrink the amount of teams that are willing to deal with you, no matter how good you are, with the amount of self-implosion that you kind of expose yourself to. And then also, I think, how much public exposure is he going to put the organization through? You know, like, how much is he going to actually reveal about those conversations? Because if he buries them, and again, if he's proven to be telling the truth and all that he shares is factual, that's going to be difficult, I think, for NFL teams and owners to kind of accept, whether we like that or not. And so I think it's, how much self-implosion does he go through? How much does he try to actually bury the Buccaneers? How much does he bury a guy like Bruce Arians and Tom Brady and Jason Light, their general manager? And I think the teams that might be interested have to look at it and say, not only could the greatest quarterback and one of the, if not the greatest leaders in the history of sports, Tom Brady, get him to focus again and lock in again for another 6 or 7 week stretch, another Super Bowl championship couldn't either. And another $1 million of incentives within his contract couldn't either. And I think that has to factor into those teams in making that decision as well.
Yeah, listen, Dan, I'm not disputing any of that. But here's what I'm going to say. What's one of the worst things that probably the worst thing you could do as a player is quit on your team.
Yes.
We've seen that. We've seen AB do that in Pittsburgh, where he refused to go into the game, his last game wearing a Steelers uniform.
Right.
We essentially saw him quit against the Oakland Raiders. Okay. He moves on to New England. You know, that situation blows up. And then we see him move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Think about it. Damn, if any other player just quits, that's usually it. Your career is done. Right. It's over.
Right.
It's over. The fact that AB has gotten chance after chance after chance after chance only reinforces what I said earlier. The fact that regardless of the baggage that Antonio Brown brings, and he brings plenty, he is still a supremely talented wide receiver.
Right.
And everyone sees that. And ultimately, again, at the end of the day, teams are in the business of winning.
Right.
They want to win, regardless of the warts that you have on you. And that is what ultimately leads me to believe in 2022, there's going to be an executive or another one that's going to stick their neck out and say, I can contain this beast. Because, Dan, you and I both know this. There are so many people in the National Football League, particularly front office coaches, that have egos. They think they can if I get my hands on him, I can change him. I can control him. And someone is going to fall prey to that next year, I guarantee you, because the talent is still so good.
Talent breeds toleration, right? So we know that, and that's to your point. I would say still, I disagree that it's a home run, like a no-brainer, because if it comes out that he is embellishing, fabricating, making this stuff up, and what he's saying did happen, did not happen, and there's evidence and proof from the organization, I don't think there's any chance that any team signs Antonio Brown moving forward. If this comes out that he is, again, not telling the truth and making this stuff up and lying, his NFL career is done.
Yeah, Dan, definitely I agree with you there. But, Damien, in regards to what you're saying, as a woman, I can definitely tell you the whole I can change him mentality, it doesn't work. So I hope that the teams out there also can realize that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
And it was all the feels last night after the Mavs beat the Warriors and Dallas retired Dirk Nowitzki's number and sent it up to the rafters. Dirk, the 14-time All-Star and Finals MVP, is a sure bet to enter the Hall of Fame when he's eligible next year. And it got all of us wondering where he ranks among international NBA players. So, Perk, I hear you have a top five list for us. What you got? Oh, and Monica McCann,
Charlie,
obviously, here, too.
I do. You and Monica sit back and keep a cool booty. This is my top five international players ever to play the game of basketball. And if you want to argue, go argue with your mama. If you love your mama so much, go argue with your daddy. It's not up for debate. Coming up at number five, the Frenchman himself, Mr. France, Tony Parker, TP, six-time All-Star, four-time NBA champion, Finals MVP. Look, top 10 in playoff points in league history. This man here was a killer. Led the league in points in the paint a few times in his career, playing with an area with Shaq and Duncan. Coming in at number four, we got the Canadian guard. We're going with Steve Nash, two-time MVP at the time with Shaq, Kobe, Tracy McGrady, LeBron James, all were in their prime. Guess who came out on top and won the MVP award? Steve Nash led the league in assists multiple years, changed the game for a lot of people. At number three, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know he has his career is short right now, but his resume longer than the Chick-fil-A line, okay? Two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same year. Champion, Finals MVP. He's only 27 years old, so he can move up. At number two, we going with Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki was the Steph Curry for the big man, okay? He changed the game. One-legged fadeaways. Made it cool for us to shoot. Made it cool for big man to shoot the three in today's game. So when you look at Dirk, 30,000 plus points, did it with one franchise. Hey, remarkable career. Greatest German player to ever play the game of basketball. At number one, Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. Everybody goes to Hakeem in the summertime to get those post moves. The most skilled big man to ever play the game of basketball. Yes, I said it, to ever play the game of basketball. This is why Kobe went to him in the summer. This is why LeBron went to train with him in the summer. Everybody wanted to be like Hakeem. This is my top five internationals to ever play the game of basketball.
Monica, what do you say to that?
I just want to point out, Charlie, I don't know if you heard Perk when he said it, but he said Dirk allowed us big men to shoot the three like Perk was shooting threes. Mm-hmm. I just don't want that to go overlooked in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Perk, I love the list. I will say the only personal tug of war that I had a little bit.
It's no tug of war. It's no tug of war. I told you it's not up for debate.
All right. Okay, so where's Manu Ginobili then? That's my only question for you.
Listen, it was hard. It was hard. And sometimes sometimes people get left off. And at the end of the day, when I was picking my list, it was between whether I was going to take Tony Parker or whether I was going to take Manu Ginobili. And when I put their resume side by side, Tony Parker got the, you know what I mean? He got the nod.
All right. I guess, we're talking about NBA, so I guess that gold medal that Manu has with Argentina just doesn't matter in this conversation. But,
it does matter. It's special.
I will say this, though. This list immediately got me thinking about some of the guys that are currently doing their thing in the NBA and what it could look like a few years from now when you talk about Luka. Joel Embiid in particular are the two that kind of jumped off the page when I thought about the list. But well done, Perk. I won't be arguing with either of my parents.
All right, so clearly he went with guys who, you know, had longer playing spans because there's a lot of current players who very well could make an international players list. But, Perk, let's look back to last night, Dirk Nowitzki getting his jersey retired. It was a very special moment. Mm-hmm. You actually played against Dirk. So what stands about going head-to-head with him the most to you?
Well, Charlie, it's a lot. I mean, I know I caught about 500 to 1,000 of those 30,000 points. He gave that work to me at times. But, you know, in 2012, you know, me and Dirk didn't see eye to eye, okay? Me and Dirk didn't see eye to eye. Run the video. Where the clip at? There it go. Right here. We get into a little scuffle. See, you have to understand. The year before this, Dirk gave me that work in the Western Conference Finals. So now we get our chance to get our get back, and I got to ruffle the feathers a little bit. You see it?
Yeah. I see it.
You see it? It's about to go down. It's about to go down. I had to set the tone. And you know what ended up happening? Guess what happened in this series? Pull out the brooms, because we swept them. We swept them. That's what happens when you set the tone, when you're the enforcer.
It is Dirk versus Perk. I wish we had the audio for that one. That would have been good.
I made it
that
cool.
That is excellent. I love Perk clips.
Amazing.
Monica, Charlie, I made it okay for James and Russ and KD to feel comfortable and say, you know what? Oh, okay, we got them now. Nah, we got Big Perk, got our back. We about to go ahead and sweep these people. Pull the brooms out.
You did it. You did it, Perk. Hey, Perk, Monica, mm-hmm. thank you so very much for your time. We will see you later.
See y'all.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That bad man Aaron Rodgers did not hold back in responding to MVP voter Hub Harkush after Harkush said he would not be voting for the Packers quarterback because he's, quote, the biggest jerk in the league. Ouch. Here's Rodgers' retort.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. But, I mean, I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the offseason, that, you know, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude, you know, future votes. You know, his problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. Because he doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. I've never had lunch with him. I've never had an interview with him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. You know, so if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. But he's a bum, and I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff.
Okay, so Rodgers not wasting his time, but still yesterday after Rodgers spoke, Hub Harkush posted a column on Shaw Media apologizing for his comments. In part, it said, quote, I made a terrible mistake. It was completely my fault. There is no one else to blame, and I am here to try and apologize. To Aaron Rodgers, you are one of the greatest players of this generation and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Whether or not you are this year's MVP is up to the 50-member panel, neither me nor my critics. I couldn't possibly be more sorry for dragging all of you into my mess, and I hope you will accept my apology. Earlier on the show, we hit the off-the-field angle, but you know what? Let's bring it back to the gridiron. So, Dan, is Rodgers the runaway MVP?
I don't think he's the runaway. I, for the great majority of this season, have said that Jonathan Taylor was the MVP of the NFL. I think what's happened over the last 3 weeks, Aaron Rodgers has probably taken the number one spot. Jonathan's had good games, not great games. And Aaron Rodgers obviously had a really good stretch here where they've secured the one seed and he's continued to produce. I still think that if Aaron Rodgers does not play Sunday this weekend, because again, their game does not matter, and Jonathan Taylor goes for 175 yards, 200 yards against Jacksonville, and they win because of him and his performance to get into the playoffs, given what their season started like, I think Jonathan Taylor has a chance to overtake Aaron Rodgers in the MVP voting. I think it's his to lose, but I think a huge game from Jonathan is a big deal. I'd also say I think Joe Burrow has the chance to be in that conversation as well with what he's done. Now, everyone, Charlie, goes to this. Like, everyone says Derrick Henry didn't win it last year and he rushed for 2,000 yards. Okay, so context in this conversation matters. Number one, last year when Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards, there were three quarterbacks that threw for over 40 touchdowns. There were 11 quarterbacks that threw for over 30 touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor, I think, has somewhere around 1,700-plus yards right now. Derrick Henry ran for 2,000. This year, there's only one quarterback that's thrown for 40 touchdowns. There's only nine that have thrown for 30. So the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, won it last year because he had far and away the best quarterback performance of last season in a body or grouping that had a better quarterbacking performance last year than it did this year. That's why I still think Jonathan Taylor is in the conversation.
I like that one.
Hey, Dan, let me ask you a question.
You like that one? You like that?
Hey, Dan, let me ask you a question.
What? 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 I already know who you're going to say.
Who is that one quarterback who has thrown for 40 touchdowns, Dan? Tom Brady.
Tomas Brady.
Tom Brady is the quarterback who's thrown for 40 touchdowns, okay? And I'm just going to go back to this. Do I think Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP? Yes. Do I think it's close? I do think it's close. And I think it's close because of Tom Brady. And Okay. Listen, Dan, you bring up, you know, Jonathan Taylor. He's had a fantastic year. But we all know how this award is trending. It's trending. It's a quarterback war. It's a quarterback. That's just the facts here. Unless the running back has just an unbelievable special year, it's going to pretty much always go towards the quarterback. And for me, Tom Brady this year, this is a guy that's thrown for over 1,000 more yards than Aaron Rodgers. Now, granted, he plays in a different type of offense than Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers has A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones and has more of a ground game than Tom Brady. But, again, at the age of 44 and to have all of that on his shoulders to throw for 40 touchdowns, have 1,000 more passing yards, I just think it's just unbelievable. So, yes, Aaron Rodgers more than likely is going to win the MVP, but I think Tom Brady is right on his heels in this whole thing.
Well, I would say this. Like, I know Tom's thrown for 40 touchdowns. Aaron's thrown for 38, and I actually have it right here. Tom's attempted 682 passes. Aaron Rodgers is attempted 513. So Tom's thrown 170 more passes. I would imagine Aaron would have two more touchdowns if he did that, and I don't know, 1,000 more yards, but certainly a bunch more yards. So, you know, the fact that they're so close with their touchdowns in regards to the difference in passing attempts has to be a part of this conversation. I think that while Davante Adams is the best receiver in football, I would say that the totality of the weapons in Tampa for the majority of the season have been better. Aaron lost his starting tight end for basically two-thirds, maybe three-quarters of the season, and Tonyan had to play some games without Alan Lazard as well. So both seasons are remarkable. If a quarterback is going to win it, I think Aaron Rodgers wins it again. I think that if we're going to put Tom Brady in the conversation, Joe Burrow has to be right there neck and neck with him. I honestly feel that way.
Listen, I don't disagree with you because I think a lot of times when you talk about MVP conversation, a lot of it is momentum down the stretch.
Sure.
And look at what Joe Burrow has done, particularly down the stretch. Hell, I mean, his whole season has been lights out, but just down the stretch with the numbers that he's been able to put up, those fantasy type numbers he's been able to put up, it's been eye-opening. So I think Joe Burrow, listen, we've both touched upon it. We've joked about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has officially arrived to the party. I think he's one of the finest quarterbacks that we have in this league.
Yeah, and I think indifferent to what Tom and Aaron have done, he does not have their offensive lines. You know, Cincinnati, pass protection-wise, has still struggled. Now, I wouldn't be as crazy enough to go on national television and say that I would take him over Patrick Mahomes over the next 5 years. I think he's phenomenal,
well,
but I'm not crazy enough to do something like that.
They did go head-to-head. I mean, they went head-to-head, and who came out on top? So, you know,
I'm just going to
throw that out there. But, you know, it's not crazy for me to say, is it, Dan?
It's strong.
He's questioning your mental health here. Hey, Dan. So you said that you would take, if you had to choose a quarterback, you would choose Aaron Rodgers. So there is the plan for him to play on Sunday. It's a meaningless game, a throwaway against the Lions, but Matt LaFleur has said that all healthy starters will take the field. Do you think that this is the right way of going about things? Do you think Rodgers should be playing on Sunday?
I would play him for like a series or two. That's fine. I would be shocked, absolutely shocked, if Aaron Rodgers saw the second quarter. You know, I think they treat it maybe like the first preseason game, you know, where you go out there, you have a drive, hopefully have some success, maybe a second one, you get 7 or 10 points on the board. And Charlie, honestly, like you can call plays to make sure that you're not exposing him to the high, like a high percentage of hits or high chance of hits. So I'd be shocked if Aaron Rodgers saw the second quarter. If he sees the second half, I'll have some choice words on Monday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, Charlie, I agree. I think he should be on a pitch count because, you know, the one thing we talk about when it, as it relates to the postseason is all about momentum. It's about that chemistry, the cohesion, and all those type of things. And sometimes what happens, we already know the Green Bay Packers have locked up the number one seed. Well, guess what? If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this week, that would be, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before he's playing a meaningful game? I've been a part of many a playoff games where teams have rested players, and then they come out flat, even with a bye week, and they lose. Yeah. So that's why I would say play Aaron Rodgers on maybe like what Dan was talking about, a quarter, maybe a little bit into the second quarter, but get him out of the game just so he can have that flow with his guys out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, you think about if it was a year ago, this week wouldn't even be happening. We'd already be heading to the playoffs because that 18th week was something new for this season. Okay, guys, we'll wrap it there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
1 week doesn't seem like a lot of time, but I guess it is when you are this close to the postseason, and we are almost there. So this seems like a good time, gentlemen, to check in with quarterbacks. So let's toss it to our own quarterback, Dan Orlovsky, to give us the top five signal callers he trusts most in the playoffs. So, Dan, floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, I'll start at number five. Matthew Stafford for the Los Angeles Rams, I absolutely trust. Now, Matthew has had a fantastic season. And there's been the last three or four games he's had some interceptions, 100%, some pick sixes. That's not who he is as a player. It's not who he's been the first 12 years of his career, and it's not who he's been the majority of this season. I think the way that Sean McVay is building this offense throughout some of the injuries and the change of scheme is a big deal. Van Jefferson, his connection with OBJ has grown and grown and grown. Obviously, Cooper Kupp and his connection. I just trust that in the fourth quarter and those football games, and they need a score, I would put everything I have that Matthew Stafford is going to get it done. He's been the best quarterback in football this season in the fourth quarter. 42 comeback wins in his career. Number four, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is a player that, when I watched him play in the national championship game, I said, he's different. And then said, no-brainer number one pick last year. And then this year, about 6 weeks ago, I said he's a top five player at the position. I think that has been proven to be accurate with what we have seen him do the last 6 or 7 weeks. Last week was a benchmark moment for Joe Burrow. Down 14 early on, doesn't flinch. Down 14 late, doesn't flinch. Need a game-winning drive against the number one seed in the AFC and Patrick Mahomes, he gets it done. Joe Burrow, I trust completely because of his ability to never panic with the football. I don't care if his last name does not have three R's. Number three, Patrick Mahomes. Been some valleys this season with Patrick Mahomes, but I love the fact that mechanically he has gotten so much better. Number two, decision-making wise, has gotten better and better and better. We've seen the creative Patrick Mahomes kind of reemerge in the last month, and his track record speaks for itself. He has earned the right for me to sit here and say, no matter difficulties throughout this season, I still believe Patrick Mahomes is the most talented player at the position that I've ever seen and the best quarterback in football. Number two is going to be Tom Brady. You know, Woody just went on a long and well-deserved dissertation of why he should be in the MVP conversation. Last week on the road against the Jets, they're struggling, everybody's hurt. Again, he leads them to a game-winning drive. I think Mike Evans' health is huge. I think Rob Gronkowski's health is huge. They've got to go back to a little bit more of a three tight end offense now that they've dealt with some of the injuries and obviously Antonio Brown not being part of their football team. Number one, gonna surprise some people. I don't care, it's my list. Like Kendrick Perkins says, carry the HE double hockey sticks on. I'm gonna put Carson Wentz as number one. I think that because of the player that I've seen in the past years, his track record, what I've watched, and the rebuilding of his confidence, what's the matter?
Yeah, Damian, what's wrong? I don't get it.
Dog, you got Carson Wentz number one. Come on. Dan, I know that's your boy. I know that
he's
your
not
boy,
my boy. I've never talked to him.
You got Carson Wentz over Patrick Mahomes? Like, man, look, I'm not. Can y'all throw my list up there, please?
Hold on, no.
Oh my gosh!
List hold up, there, please.
Hold up, Wood. This is.
What?
I've known you for a long time. I'd get you. No, Carson Wentz
yes,
is not
have.
Number one. Aaron Rodgers is number one. I just knew that I would get
gotcha.
A rise from you.
Dog.
I got
that was
him.
Amazing.
Aaron Rodgers, number
hey,
one.
You know I was about to go in.
Yeah. I knew you would, though, right when I said it. I'm sure my Twitter right now is people saying some choice words. Aaron Rodgers is number one. He's been the best quarterback all season in the NFL this year. His connection with Devontae Adams is spectacular. I think his offensive line has done such a nice job of fighting through injuries, but Aaron Rodgers is the guy that no matter the time on the clock, I trust the most to find a way to get a win. So that's my top five.
Yeah, listen, I think that's a pretty good list. The whole Matthew Stafford thing I got a problem with. You know the turnovers in the latter part of the season, that bothers me. That bothers me. But let's throw up my list here. Let's see how my list compares to your list. Okay? Obviously, okay. For me, number five, Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow, listen, Joe Burrow has been balling all year long. And then down the stretch, man, he's made me even more of a believer. And this is the guy that's been sacked the most times in the National Football League at 47. Yeah. Number four, I'm going with Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen to me is that quarterback that you are just scared to death to play of because he can beat you not only with that special arm talent, but his legs. I mean, this is a guy that's like leading the Buffalo Bills in rushing.
Yeah.
So he can do it by himself. Number three, Patrick Mahomes. I think, you know, some of the struggles that Patrick Mahomes has had this year has actually made him a better quarterback. It's forced him to focus on the little things in this game, which has made him a better quarterback. And I think he's going to do fantastic this postseason. Number two for me is Aaron Rodgers. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest talents I've ever seen at the quarterback position. Got the number one seed locked up in the NFC. That's going to be a tough place to play up in Lambeau. But you know for me who my number one is. Okay, I'm going with the guy who has seven rings on his hand, Tom Brady. I mean, who's going to bet against him? This is the same guy that went, I know it was
teammates.
Last year, went into Lambeau last year and got the job done. So if I'm going to push all my
questions.
Chips in the basket, I'm pushing my chips in the basket for 12.
I got two questions for you, bro. My first question is this. I agree. I love Josh Allen. You know, like I was the one threw him in the MVP list, like second game of the year last year. My question about Josh Allen is this. If you're going to sit here and say that you've got reservations about Matthew because of some of the interceptions that have transpired, that's fine. That's cool. I use the Marcus Spear word, transpired. If you're going to say that, is there not a little bit of a hesitation with some of the YOLO, you know, kind of style of play that Josh has in his game? It's what makes him great, but that's part of his game as well, right? Does that give you any hesitation?
Yeah, I think that comes with him. I think that comes with him. That's a
sure.
concern. But I also look at his running ability, Dan. That's a huge part of the package that he brings to the game. It's like, this dude is just a really good athlete. He makes plays inside the pocket, outside the pocket, design runs. It's just he has an element to his game that Matthew Stafford doesn't have, in my opinion.
And then you still have Tom at one, even though we have no idea what this offense is really going to look like. We make these projections in the tight end, but we don't have any really clue of what they're going to look like in 2 weeks. Like, you still have him at one without all those pieces?
It's because I believe in 12. The 12 is a winner. He's done it. He's done it his whole career. So I trust that they'll figure it out.
Who's number six for you?
Okay, Stafford. So a little bit of disagreement here.
Stafford is six.
Damian, first off, I have to say the expression on your face when Dan said Carson Wentz was beautiful. And I hope that you asked the producers to clip off this show because it was definitely legendary. It was so good. Yeah, you were beside yourself. You didn't know what to think. Okay, so there is a little bit of disagreement here, but one thing you both can agree on. You both have Mahomes and also Rodgers in your top three. So, look, both of them, the favorites, their teams in their respective conferences. So, Dan, who do you think is going to have the tougher path in the playoffs?
I think it's the Kansas City Chiefs. If we're saying tougher path, Green Bay Packers or Kansas City Chiefs, I think it's the Kansas City Chiefs. One, they're going to have to go on the road more than likely to make it happen. I do not anticipate Tennessee kind of losing to Houston. And then I think the reality for Green Bay is that Tampa Bay has dealt with a lot this past month. And I just don't know how healthy of a football team they're going to be. Kansas City's going to have to more than likely run through the likes of Buffalo, who, if Buffalo plays like they did 2 weeks ago in New England, they're as good as anybody in football. They're going to have to play against potentially Cincinnati. We saw what happened last weekend. That offensive unit is as difficult to stop as anybody in football. New England is brand, is their style is incredibly difficult. Indianapolis, if they win this weekend, I'm telling you, is built to beat teams that are built like the Kansas City Chiefs. Tennessee and their rush unit, we watched this team hammer Kansas City earlier on in the year. So I think the AFC as a whole is better.
Cincinnati?
I just think because of what we've seen, the inconsistency in Dallas, if Dallas plays their A-plus game, they could beat anybody. They haven't played A-plus game in like 3 months. And because of the injuries in Tampa Bay, I think the road for Green Bay is just a little bit easier. And specifically, they got to do it at home. They get to do it at home.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I think it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Number one, you know, they're not going to have home field advantage like they've been accustomed to the past couple of years. That's a huge advantage when you talk about the postseason. You know, teams going to have to go up to Lambeau and try to win again with the, you know, presumed league MVP and Aaron Rodgers. And I think, you know, when you look at the NFC, you know, there's flawed teams on that side. Obviously, you talked about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers dealing with some injuries, particularly on the offensive side of the football. Dallas Cowboys, inconsistent offensively. Dak and company, they're not getting it together. And then you look at some of the teams that are in on the NFC side, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, listen, I think the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, they've had a fine season, but do you think they'd be able to go up to Lambeau and win? Yes. I just think that when you look at the AFC side, man, you got some potential monsters that you got to go through. You know, whether you're talking about Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, Buffalo and Josh Allen, the Tennessee Titans and you know, their rushing attack and the physicality that they come with. And Dan pointed out that, you know, the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs and the Indianapolis Colts. Those are formidable teams in the AFC. So I got to say the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion.
Okay, well, you both agree on that one. And the Chiefs can actually clinch the AFC title if they win this weekend. They also have to have Tennessee lose. So it's not looking good, but there is still a chance.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And looking at the NFL, the easiest way to the playoffs is win and in when the Chargers and Raiders face off on Sunday night. It is perhaps the game with the biggest implications in Week 18, and the Raiders coming in red hot with a three-game winning streak. So, Damian, which team do you believe has the edge in this matchup?
Listen, my head says the Chargers, But my heart wants the Raiders to win this game. I just, listen, as far as the matchup is concerned, I think Justin Herbert and company, I think they have the weaponry that they have on offense. I think they'll be able to exploit the back end of that Raiders secondary. But for me, this is a kind of emotional thing because the Raiders, everything that they've been through this season,
yeah,
with the firing of John Gruden, with Henry Ruggs III, the situation with Henry Ruggs III, and for them to be and for them to obviously go into Indianapolis last week and get a huge win, and to put themselves in a position to win and you're in. I mean, that just speaks volumes to, you know, everybody in that organization, Derek Carr, the leadership that you have to have to sustain and get to this point as a team, coaching, everybody in that organization deserves a standing ovation because a lot of teams would have folded with all that's going on and, you know, all that stuff happening this season. But for the Raiders to be sitting in this position, I want them just for personal reasons, I want to see them in the postseason.
Yeah, who would have known that you're a sweetheart? I'm going to say the Chargers have the edge in this football game. I think the Chargers win the football game, but I do want to piggyback a little bit on what you said about the Raiders. I thought Marcus Spears said it the best this week. If Derek Carr is not their quarterback, they are not in this situation. So it is an incredible accomplishment what they've done. I'd also take it a step further. If the Raiders decide that it's in their best interest or their best future's interest to move on from Derek Carr this offseason because they don't owe him any money, you're crazy, okay? You're flat-out crazy because he is a phenomenal player and obviously a phenomenal leader. So getting ahead of that. The reason I think the Chargers have the advantage or the edge in this game is they're finally getting healthy. Mina Kimes pointed out on NFL Live this week, the Chargers have really been playing specifically on the defensive end without a bunch of their starters for a long period of time. And they're finally back to being healthy on a consistent basis. I think their coverage unit last week was really good. Justin Herbert, I think two things stand out, you know, with Herbert right now. How fast he's making decisions. Joe Lombardi, their offensive coordinator, comes from the Saints. Drew Brees made the best quick decisions, probably as good as anybody during his time. Justin Herbert is doing that type of football. And then the ability to spread the football around to their pieces. Eckler has become such a dynamic back, dual threat style. So I think because of that, that gives them an advantage. I'm so excited to watch Slater versus a guy like Yannick Ngakoue or Max Crosby. But I think their defensive line has to match how physical the Raiders were against Indy last week. I think that both quarterbacks are going to have the chance to win the game late. I think the Chargers have the edge.
Yeah, FBI also giving the Chargers the edge, 58.2% to win, but that's not an overwhelming favorite. So anything could really happen here. It'll be fun to watch. Let's now talk about two quarterbacks who are certainly not going to be seeing any postseason action. They really have had rocky starts to their pro careers, both ranking really near the bottom of the league in multiple offensive categories. So while their teams have some of the worst records in the NFL, here's Trevor Lawrence on his optimism for the future.
I know there's some really good days ahead, and I'm excited just to experience that with obviously whoever's a part of those teams in the future, and just this city and these fans. I know this place deserves it, so I'm excited for that, and I know it's going to come.
Okay, Damian, I know where your allegiance lies, so I'm kind of figuring where you're going to go with this one, but who has the brighter future? Is it Trevor Lawrence or is it Zach Wilson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. And I think, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And when you look at Zach Wilson down the stretch, you know, over the last six games, he's only turned the ball over one time, one interception. That's the primary job of a quarterback is to take care of the football. He's done a very good job of taking care of the football. You look at the Jets, he's going to be in the, you know, next season, he's going to be in the same system, same coach. The Jets have a ton of draft picks, ton of salary cap space to add on to what they have right now. I just think he's set up really well moving forward.
Yeah, the brighter future is Trevor Lawrence. This guy is still the quarterback coming out of the draft that many people were saying he's the best since Andrew Luck. He's Peyton Manning, John Elway. This year has been a disaster. I think there's many variables off the season that or off the field, excuse me, that have been factored into this being a disaster. But he is still an incredible talent. I will say this, Woody, and agree with you. Zach Wilson the last 3 weeks has been very good. And I love the fact that he's been aggressive with the football, yet hasn't given it away. Trevor Lawrence, I would say, has been ignorant with the football in the last month. I've seen some very disappointing turnovers and giveaways, and there's the difference. Zach's been aggressive. Trevor Lawrence has been ignorant. But I can't fault him for everything or for what's transpired this year. Again, a Marcus Spears word. I think who they hire is going to be obviously a massive kind of factor in who becomes or Trevor if Trevor Lawrence becomes the guy that he should. But I'm not factoring anything in this season. It was a disaster in Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, both quarterbacks playing for franchises who historically have been very, very bad. That is not an understatement by any means. Okay, guys, you know what? I've been keeping my eye on AB's Twitter. Nothing new to report, so that actually could be good news. But, guys, thank you so much, everyone. Thank you so much for hanging with us. We hope you have a wonderful day, and we will see all of you tomorrow.